Welcome back to another episode here of the Sporting Kansas City Show. I'm your host, Blake Arney, and it has been an eventful week around here in Kansas City. SKC suffering a tough 3-2 loss to the LA Galaxy. However, this week of training, it seems like the team has been 100% focused on everything they've got ahead against Toronto FC. They will head to play Toronto this weekend. We'll cover all that, but I thought before we start, it's a little bit of a different episode here. We've had some good interviews, some good conversations, so I want to kind of just lay it out and let you guys know what this episode is going to look like. So first things first, after this, we'll talk a little bit about that LA Galaxy matchup, maybe talk a little bit about what the sentiment around the team was, what Peter Vermees hit, some of his thoughts about the matchup. And then we had a great conversation with the goal scorer in that match, Willie Agata for Sporting Kansas City. He scored the second goal in that matchup against the Galaxy. A great conversation with him. He is always a very lively guy, so much fun to talk to. So we'll have that conversation with Willie. And then we also talked with the manager of fan development here at Sporting Kansas City, John Felton, about the Sporting U NIL program. Sporting Kansas City, of course, launched that not too long ago. And the Sporting U NIL program has just blown up, and other teams around the league have kind of looked at it and tried to emulate what Sporting Kansas City is doing. And we talked with a Sporting U NIL athlete, Blake Craig, the kicker for the Missouri Tigers football team. So that was a great conversation, just kind of getting to know him. And the goal with some of these are just for you fans, you listeners, to get to know these Sporting U NIL athletes as the team grows and as those athletes continue to progress throughout their career. And then finally, we will wrap up a little bit of a preview and some things to know about the matchup against Toronto FC. Just some of those major points that we want to talk about heading into that matchup. So it should be a good episode here on the Sporting Kansas City Show. And where we'll start is with that matchup against the LA Galaxy. Sporting Kansas City, of course, led 2-0 at halftime, lost the match 3-2. It was a very frustrating match, I think, from everyone around the club, the players, the coaches, the fans. Everyone felt frustrated about the way it went. But after the match, it didn't feel like that was 100% the sentiment. The players and the coaches knew that there's a lot of positives to take away. Of course, that 10-minute span where the Galaxy ran rampant at Children's Mercy Park, scored three goals plus a couple of goals that were called back for offside of, you know, that was the frustrating point, and that's where it just showed that you can't fall asleep at any point against that Galaxy team. Ricky Pooj in the midfield, you know, Paintsil, Jovalich up front, that team can strike in an instant. And if you fall asleep for a very short period of time, they can make it count. They can make it hurt against you, and they did just that against Sporting Kansas City. But head coach Peter Vermees did try and take away some positives and say, you know, for the first 60, 65 minutes, he felt like the team played really well. They connected well. They created a lot of chances. I think the expected goals was pretty high for Sporting Kansas City. So there were some of those positives, and I think myself included, I agree with a lot of that and just feel like there's a lot of positives for this team to take away. But of course, the overarching sentiment was that you have to be better in that moment where as soon as the Galaxy started to show some of that danger that they were going forward, the team just needed to find a way to shut that down, find a way to get Ricky Pooj off the ball and get the LA Galaxy to slow down. But another positive, I think, that came away from that matchup was that Willie Agata in that new formation, he looked very good. In the new formations, the team seemed to adapt really well. Peter Vermees talked about that in the press conference ahead of this matchup against Toronto about how he liked the way the team adapted. They seemed to defend well and attack well. They created a lot of chances. So there was a lot of good to come out of that. And Willie Agata was another piece of that, starting in that match, scoring in that match against the Galaxy. A very positive piece for Sporting Kansas City that he played well and he talked about it. We'll talk to him here in a couple of minutes, but he talked about how he enjoyed playing off of another striker, and that is Alan Pulido playing right behind him, kind of in a number 10 position right behind Willie Agata. And Willie Agata was a fan of that. He loves playing off of Alan Pulido. But I'll do enough of that talking. I'll let Willie do some of that talking. So we had a great conversation with Sporting Kansas City striker Willie Agata. Here is that conversation. We got Willie Agata here on the Sporting Kansas City Show. Willie, how are you doing?
I'm good. You know, thanks for having me here.
We're really glad to have you on. And I've asked some of these guys previously this question, but I'd like to ask you as well. Mm-hmm. So you finish up training, a normal day for you.
Right.
As soon as you leave the doors, what is a normal day in the life of Willie Agata?
Bro, to be honest, you know, I would say a good day for me, you know, it's just waking up as early as 7:30, you know, have my morning devotion, you know, pray and, you know, clean up, you know, and dress for training, you know, make sure I'm out of the house quick so that I don't, you know, get in traffic, you know, and, you know, training, get your training routine and everything. Once the training is over, you know, eat and leave straight to my bedroom. To be honest, I like to take my nap after training, you know. And after that, maybe wake up like after maybe 1 hour, you know, sometimes 2 hours. And I don't know, try and talk with family sometimes, you know what I'm saying? And yeah, that's a pretty normal day for me.
That's great. How often do you get to talk with your family?
I try, you know, even though, you know, I have like, you know, 7 hours different, 6 hours. But, you know, I try sometimes in the morning, sometimes you can catch them late, you know. So I just try, you know, talk to friends and family and yeah.
That's great. Yeah. So looking back at the matchup against the Galaxy, obviously not the way you guys wanted it to end, but you did score the second goal, of course, your first goal of 2024. Yeah. How did it feel to get back on the score sheet?
Honestly, you know, it's always, you know, good to score goals, and especially, you know, as a striker, you know, you just want to keep helping your team, you know, score goals and in any ways that you can help them, you know, win the game. Unfortunately, the game doesn't go as planned, you know, but trust me, you know, I'm happy that I'm back with the team, especially starting, you know, it's been a while ever since the injury, you know, I haven't get some, you know, start, you know, but again, you know, I just try to be me, you know, keep my heads up, and I promise whenever I have my chances, I'll always, you know, try to prove myself and help the team in any way that I can.
Yeah, and you guys kind of lined up in a little bit of a different formation. We've talked to you about this, you know, previously, but how did you like kind of sitting in a spot where you were alongside Alan and kind of working off of him?
Honestly, even before the coach decided to do that, I always thought of it, you know, and I feel like it's a good idea, you know, sometimes to try something like that. And I like it, you know. I like to play, you know, next to a striker like me or number 10 that is always close next to me. And that, you know, he can be like more underneath, or whenever I come to get the ball, he will be, you know, deep. And it is always difficult for the defenders, you know, to keep the two of us, you know. Even if they're doing that, they're going to have, like, difficulties in which, like, the wingers can come in and do their thing as well. So I like it, you know. Hopefully, you know, the coach will continue to do this. And if not, you know, we're all here to work and listen to him. If he changes, then no problem. But if he continues, I will be happy, you know, to keep playing next to Alan, you know.
Yeah, and you were back in front of the home fans, I guess. How do you feed off of that energy?
Honestly, you know, it's always good, you know, to connect back to, you know, the amazing fans of Sporting KC, you know, they're loving, caring, and cherishing, you know. You can tell, you know, always, you know, the stadium is warming. And honestly, I was so excited, you know, to be able to make them, you know, scream, you know, at the children's mercy once again, you know, after a little bit of while of time, you know. It's good.
So I don't know if we have talked to you since you have kind of recovered from your injury and you're back fully on the pitch. So how are you feeling physically?
Honestly, it's been blessing, you know, on God, you know, always, you know. It's been a difficult moment, you know. I talked about it before, but I was always say, you know, grateful to God Almighty, you know, to family that always keep in touch, to the medical staff, you know, Peter himself with his staff. Always grateful to them because everyone contributed. Even you guys, you know, the media here, always, you know, with me at the gym, helping me out, you know, to cherish me. So I'm happy, you know, to be back again, you know, helping myself, help people helping me even, you know. So it's always amazing, you know, to be back with the team. I love it. Trust me, I'm happy I'm playing back again. And I wish my boys that are also injured, I wish they come back strongly, you know, because I can relate that what they're feeling right now, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah.
So what are some of those things, and I guess some of the people that help you out in that process? Yeah. Like, what is that process of recovering from injury kind of like for you?
Honestly, to be honest, it will tell you a lot because you will see a life differently, that you get to appreciate things that sometimes you always complain, oh my God, the training is so hard, oh my God, we run a lot. But the day you're out of that field for a minute, that you know, bro, whatever I do, I can play today and tomorrow, like, trust me, you will appreciate the fact that you can even be playing, you know. So honestly, you know, I thank everyone that has been supportive, you know, in the team. They always try to check up and like, hey boy, you know, keep your head up, we're here to help you if you need anything. and always trying to, you know, push me even when I said I'm tired, you know, Eric as well, you know. Shout out to Eric, you know, all the medical staff, but also Chris as well, and all of them, they always start like, hey, boy, you just have to keep going, you know. And they're all working to see me succeed like a day, like, you know, last week, to just make sure that I can be able to help the team, you know, like last week, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah, I'm happy.
And then when there are other guys, you know, you talked about you helping some of those other guys as they're injured. What kind of things do you say to them?
Especially Logan, like, it's someone that I'm really close to him, you know. I feel really sad for him because he's, like, on his, I would say on his prime, you know, scoring goals, helping the team, you know. And then all of a sudden, the injury happened. So I can feel, you know, exactly, I can relate with what he's feeling. So I always tell him, hey, listen, boy, like, I used to be in the same shoes with you. I just finished training, come, just check my leg, you know. They told me I can't train anymore, you know. And I told them I can do it. They're like, no way. Like, after the CT, like, your leg is, you just have to go through injury. So I told him, hey, listen, things happen sometimes, but just keep your head up. And if you need anything, as usual, you know, you always have me. And I always make sure, like, whenever he's doing something, if I have time, I will go chill with him. He'll be doing his workout, you know, we'll be having, like, you know, a chat or maybe running outside sometimes. I just, you know, even if I finish training, I can run more with him, you know, just to make him feel like we're still together, you know. So, yeah.
So now you guys are headed to on the road to play against Toronto. Mm. So the with the match against the Galaxy not mm-hmm. going exactly the way you wanted, yeah. How do you guys kind of put that behind you to just 100% focus on Toronto?
Honestly, what happened last week, you know, it's just part of the game. And like I said, you know, we just have to learn from our mistake. And whatever we did that we feel like that's what makes us lose this game, we try to avoid it and try to make ourselves better. That's why we come back to the training strong. And with our heads up, and trust me, we all learn, and we always make sure, like, you know, we minimize. We can't stop making mistakes, what I'm saying, but we can always minimize, make sure, like, you know, we minimize as much as we can, you know. And let's see how we go with this weekend, you know, and hopefully we will get the point as, you know, as planned, you know.
And then have you played, I'm trying to think back in your career, have you played against Toronto?
No, first time.
Okay, so it'll be, yeah, so, you know, some of those,
I'm excited about that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So some of those road trips, like this is probably a little bit of a longer road trip.
Oh, on the, really? I don't know. I have no idea. Trust me. How long is it? How far is it?
I'm probably a couple-hour flight. Probably. I mean, it's north, obviously, in Canada. So okay. What's your go-to when you're on the flights? What do you?
I try to be with my headphones and honestly just listen to music. Try and fall asleep. If not, no problem. You know, just keep going. And but most time, you know, I try to be, you know, with my headphones playing music and all of that, you know.
Just vibing, not really listening to anyone else.
Nah. Just wanna vibe, you know. Just, you know, block my ears, you know, with my Afrobeat songs, you know, and just keep going, you know.
What's your go-to music then?
My music, the kind of music I listen to. I like Afrobeat. I don't know if you know about it, you know.
I don't know if I do.
Afrobeat,
you might have to put me on.
You should look it up, you know. Afrobeat is the game right now, you know. You need to listen to some Nigerian artists, Burna Boy, Wizkid, Rema, Davido, you know. Ashake, you will like it, trust me.
Okay. that's good, because this will go perfectly. And we've got
How do you like your music? You like it to be like chilling music, or you like energy?
I like this. Now you're interviewing me. This is great. You know, I do like a lot of energy in my music.
Yeah,
so maybe I would. Maybe
Let's
I would
go,
like,
you know,
a little
like,
bit of this.
We Africans, honestly, like, we like energy song. The song that can move you to dance, you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So, yeah, Afrobeat is more of energy, to be honest. You know, you will move whether you like it or not. It should get you moving, you know, shaking your head, you know.
I can do that.
You will like it. Try it. You know?
I was going to say, maybe my ride home today. That's what I'm listening to.
Let's go.
Putting me on a little bit of new music
here. Let's go.
So this goes well into, we've got some quick fire questions here for you. So we're going to go ahead and start with those. But who on the team would you say has the best taste in music?
Taste in music? Where is the DJ in the locker room? I think Casti.
Okay, Casti does?
Casti.
What kind of music does he play?
He play both. He tried to play. That's why I feel like he's the best. Casti and Daniel, that's why I think those guys are the best, because they try to play Latino music, like Mexican song. They try to play American rap song. And today I listened to Casti. He was like, really listen to this. This is for you, my brother. And then he hit me with the Burna Boy, CT Boy. You know what I'm saying? I like that.
Okay.
So he tried to, like, you know, make sure, like, he involved everyone, you know, in the locker room. Daniel and Casti.
Okay.
These guys are fire, you know.
On they're the flip good. Side, who's got the worst?
Who got the worst? Maybe I would take that if me. Okay. I would take that.
Okay. But then when the music's going, who's the best dancer?
Who is the best dancer? Honestly, you know, who would I say? I think Kyrie is, he got some move, you know, this guy got some move, trust me. And who again? And the rest, you know, they're just falling off. But I would say Kyrie, you know.
Okay. Yeah. Can you break out some dance moves?
I try. I learned from him also.
Okay.
Yeah.
And also
Kyrie have a big, like, he know how to, you know, play some good music also.
Okay, very good.
He can play, you know, both sides, American rap and Afrobeat and Latino songs and some also French music also.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got a couple French, you know, French speakers on the team.
Yeah. He tried, you know, to, like, involve the Remy, the Logan, the Busong now, you know. So, yeah.
That's great. And then, so you're growing up, who is your favorite soccer player?
I would say I have a couple, but I like Drogba, honestly.
I can get on that. I'm a Chelsea fan.
That's
so I can,
my guy, you know.
I love that.
He don't joke any ball he got, right? Like, just hit everything in the net. I like that. And Martins also from Nigeria. Yep. I don't know if you know him. Obafemi Martins.
Oh, yeah.
Growing up watching these guys, I love them. And Ronaldo as well. That one, everyone loves him, you know. And I love Messi also, his junior. So, but I go with more Ronaldo and these guys, you know. I can see me trying to be like them, you know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Okay. And then your favorite athlete outside of soccer?
Favorite athlete after the soccer? It's me, I think. Probably me, myself.
Okay.
Myself.
I love that. And then, so to round this out, would you rather score on the road and silence the crowd, or would you rather score at home and get the crowd pumped up?
Help me out with this. What do you think?
Like, what do I think?
Yeah.
I haven't played it at quite your level.
But you always watch
outside. I think I feed off the home crowd. Yeah. I think is that where you are? Do you want to get the crowd going?
This will be difficult, but I'll go with the crowd. Let's
okay.
go.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah.
Sweet. Well, Willie, thank you so much for
thank
your time.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me. I have fun. Thank you so much.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
that is Willie Agata here on the Sporting Kansas City Show. Make sure to stay tuned. And when we come back, we'll have more on the Sporting KC Show. Welcome back in here on the Sporting Kansas City Show on Sports Radio 810 WHB or wherever you get your podcasts. If you haven't already, make sure to follow Sporting Kansas City on all socials, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, TikTok, wherever you are. Go ahead and follow Sporting Kansas City. Myself, Blake Arney, now joined alongside John Felton, the manager of fan development here at Sporting Kansas City. And it's a little bit of a different one here, John, as we have a little bit of, I guess, a focus on the Sporting U NIL department. So we're really glad you're here.
Yeah, I really appreciate you having me on and super excited to talk about this program with you.
So I guess first things first, from a broader perspective, what is the Sporting U NIL program?
Yeah, the Sporting U NIL program was really designed for us to help collegiate athletes that are homegrown to Kansas City. For us, you know, we see the impacts that we have for our athletes and supporting them, but also another way of essentially creating, you know, our grassroots marketing program on another level and reaching out to our university contacts and developing key relationships with athletes who grew up in Kansas City, who love the sporting brands, and who essentially want to find ways to not only learn more about how to engage their brand before they potentially go to their, you know, professional sport, whether that may be football or women's soccer, but for us also to kind of give them an insight of, hey, when you're done with your sports career, you're done playing, you know, what does that look like? And what areas can you utilize what you've learned working with your team in your college to essentially find another pathway to continue to be in sports and soccer specifically outside of your professional career in sports?
So ever since NIL has really become a thing, it feels like Sporting Kansas City has kind of talked about and thrown around the idea of doing something like what you guys have created. So I guess what eventually got that across the finish line, what was it, about a year ago when you guys officially launched everything?
Yeah, we've had a lot of different discussions about creating an NIL program. And for us, I think we got through the finish line of, you know, as we started to understand the NIL space a little bit more, you know, this became an opportunity for us to impact some student athletes' lives. For us, it was like, hey, we want to engage with athletes from Kansas City at our local universities and truly make a difference, you know, in kind of their brand development. And that's kind of what got to the finish line. For us in our creative department, our marketing department, we had so many people work on this project, and in all reality, it was like a quick, like, 3-week momentum of like, hey, let's build out the contracts, let's schedule, you know, calls with the athletes, let's talk about them joining our brands, which was probably my favorite thing when talking about these discussions of this NIL program was learning, you know, hey, how excited the athletes were, you know, when they picked up the phone and we talked to them for the first time, they were like, you could see them smiling, essentially. I couldn't see them, but I knew that there was a big smile on their face, and they were so excited to join the program. And then from there, it was develop creative that was unique to the college town. You know, for us, we were trying to develop a way that we could tell the athlete stories in our kits, in sporting apparel, but also celebrate with their, you know, college town. So as you might see from some of our NIL athletes' photos, you can see Mass Street for Devin Neal and Holly Klinke. And then from our Mizzou athletes, you know, Keegan Good and Blake Craig, you could see the Tiger Hotel downtown celebrating Columbia, Missouri. And then for Jericho, Kansas State, Aggieville, and that sign. So that was the development of the program. And, you know, from then on, we launched and saw kind of the momentum we had with it. And across the league, you know, we were the sixth team in professional sports to develop an NIL program. And for us, too, it was like, how do we continue to elevate it? And it's constantly working with the athletes week on, week off, and finding ways that they want to engage, you know, with the sporting KC family, and finding ways that we can continue to help elevate their brands and kind of get their name out. You know, these student athletes, and now with the addition of Jalen Knoll at Iowa State, I mean, work incredibly hard. You know, they're sacrificing a ton of time to put into their sport, and they've been doing it for many, many years. And so this is such a great opportunity for us to essentially highlight these athletes from Kansas City and celebrate them with a club that, you know, all six of these athletes I know truly love and have grown up watching. So it's been really fun.
Yeah, and a huge props to you guys because, as you mentioned, it's just the sixth professional team, and it feels like around Major League Soccer, other teams are trying to kind of follow suit with what you guys have done. So, you know, a huge prop. I guess, what is the most fun part and the most fulfilling part about working with these students?
Yeah, I mean, as I mentioned earlier, you know, a lot of these athletes sacrifice so much time to put into their sport, and you know, a lot of them do want to go professional. I think that is the goal, as most collegiate athletes, you know, have. And I think for us, it just is working with them to prep them either for that opportunity, whether it's through, you know, our brand and essentially like working with our teams, and whether it's social media, whether it's our PR teams and marketing teams, to kind of help build their brand before they go professional, so they feel equipped when they walk into, whether that's team interviews during kind of their draft selections, whether that's, you know, if they step into the league, they're able to essentially be ready to handle kind of their first endorsement deals for the first time. But then on top of that too, you know, athletes that may not make it to the professional landscape, giving them an opportunity early on, knowing how much they sacrifice, to see what other things in professional sports you can capitalize on. Even in our front office, I mean, I can name so many collegiate athletes, and it's a path for a lot of people. And it's really cool early on, you know, knowing how busy of a schedule that they have, that we can kind of fit that into a collaboration with them and truly help them in their life. And, you know, as we say, and it's a common phrase of on and off the field. So
we'll have a conversation here in a couple of minutes with Blake Craig. Tell us a little bit about Blake. He's obviously the kicker for the Missouri Tigers, but you know, how maybe he got involved, and just a little bit about him.
Yeah, Blake, it was a super fun conversation when we first met in person. And for him, it was, he started out playing soccer actually in our academy for about 3 or 4 years. And then for that, actually, he ended up in his high school for Liberty North. He essentially created an opportunity of, he was out taking PKs or practicing one day, and their head coach approached them and said, hey, do you want to try out for the football team? And sure enough, he's become an absolute all-star. And I mean, in his ESPN class. As a kicker, he was ranked second in his class. So the kid's got talent. I know next year he's taking on a lot of responsibility. And, you know, for all of our NIL athletes, we're really just excited to have our fans get to know them a little bit more and essentially kind of get to know their story. So super excited to have you guys talk.
Obviously, the goal for all of this is for you guys, the listeners, for all of you fans out there to kind of get to know these NIL athletes. So, John, thank you so much for your time. And here is that conversation with Blake Craig for you guys to get to know him. Here now alongside another Blake. It is Blake Craig, the kicker for the Missouri Tigers, as well as a Sporting U NIL athlete. Blake, how are you doing?
Great. How are you?
Doing great. We're glad to have you on. You are the first of the Sporting U NIL players and athletes that are joining us here on the SKC show. So you should maybe feel a little special about that. We're glad to have you on here.
No, yeah, I'm definitely excited and ready to get this rolling.
Absolutely. So first things first, I want people who are listening to get a chance to kind of get to know you. So when I was first learning about you and learning that you had joined the team here at Sporting Kansas City, I was under the impression that you had a soccer background. I don't think that's too uncommon with kickers, but you had a soccer background, especially here growing up in Kansas City with some connections to Sporting Kansas City. Tell us a little bit about that.
So yeah, I grew up playing soccer my whole life and even ball boying for at Sporting Kansas City games growing up. So it's kind of cool this all coming back together. It's just, it's really something special. And I think it's pretty cool that I got to play through the academy from like U12 to U15-ish. So I think it's just connections that I didn't know that I had. And now I'm playing a completely different sport and I'm still a part of the team. So it's really awesome.
So, you know, as a young player, were you like a similar story to a lot of kids where just started playing from a young age and then just realized you were maybe a little bit better than some kids like myself and were playing with the Sporting Academy?
I think it was just like, my dad, he was like my biggest role model. He's like, I think you should try out for this team. Obviously, I had a lot of confidence in myself. So I felt like I had a great shot and it was a cool experience I got to be a part of. So
that's great. No, that's wonderful. And so now after all of that, you're now kicking and now you are on the Sporting U NIL team. Tell us a little bit about how that kind of came to being.
So I actually didn't even know Sporting U was a thing until I got hit up by my NIL guy at Mizzou and he was like, hey, there's this guy named Johnny, he wants to talk to you. And it was just cool like reconnecting those connections that I didn't know I had. So it was really cool.
And that is John Felton. For those of you listeners, yes. He is one of the people who works with the Sporting U NIL athletes, a great part of this additions to all of Sporting Kansas City's marketing and everything that they've done this year and in years past. But I have to ask you, you know, you talked a little bit about, you've played soccer throughout your whole life. You have to make that transition at some point to playing kicker, obviously, now that you're at Missouri. How did that transition happen?
So it was just one of those things, man. It just like life kind of hits you and you're just like, you have to make a decision. And it was my freshman year. I was at workouts and I was actually just planning on trying out for soccer. And then the special teams coordinator is like, hey, anyone know how to kick? Me and a few other guys went out and tried it just on the field in separate time with the coach. And then I guess I just wanted to stick around with it. And I just kept showing up. I really sucked in the beginning, let me tell you too. So it was definitely a learning curve, but it was awesome. So
you had just some coaches that told you they think you'd be good at this. And then they stuck it through the part where you weren't very good.
Exactly. Yeah. And it just took off from there. I just kept getting better. I started to go to camps and things like that. And then like performing obviously at the high school level. And so it was just so much fun. I couldn't get enough of it, you know?
Absolutely. And so, you know, that transition sounds like it was kind of a little bit of a process and eventually you had to come to that decision. Because if I'm not mistaken, football and soccer are in the same season. So you had to make a decision and choose football.
Yep. Yeah, so my freshman year, I actually played for the soccer team at Liberty North. And then I was like, man, I got to make a decision because this is too much to balance in one season. So I knew I could still play club soccer. So I got to do that with my club team up until like junior year until I started getting recruited for football. But I definitely was – it was a lot to handle, and I had to make a decision there.
So for those listeners who don't know, at Liberty North, he was Blake Craig. He was the kicker where he hit two of the longest field goals in Missouri high school football history, 53 yards, 56 yards. I mean, first off, that's impressive in and of itself, but you have to add on top of that, your coach had the confidence to go throw you out there. I mean, were those some conversations you would have on the sidelines there?
I just think it was just trust built over time, because they always tested me in practice and they knew I showed up to all the workouts, everything like that. So it was just like confidence built in me over time, and I trusted them and they trusted me. And it was just one of those things. He's like, "You got it." And I'm like, "I got it." So trotted me right on out there. So,
and you did have it. You nailed those kicks, obviously.
Executed
like
it,
you said. Exactly. Yes. And it got you some attention. I'm sure you were talking to schools and you ended up landing at Missouri. So talk a little bit about how, you know, you ended up staying in your home state.
So Coach Link was actually very transparent with me. He was like, "Hey, we want you here. You got to show up to the camp. And if you earn the job, you earn the job." And so he wanted to see me kick in person. And so I showed up and I competed and I thought I did a great job. And I got reached out by Coach Drink and Coach Link the day after, and they offered me, and I was like, I committed right then and there, because I was like, this is too good of an opportunity to pass up. You know, it's SEC, it's in my hometown. It was perfect. So, yeah.
So I guess that's an interesting question for you. Had you grown up a fan of a university? Your parents maybe went somewhere? Was it Missouri?
So my parents actually went to UCM, so Central Missouri, okay. But I actually grew up a big Mizzou fan, had all the decorations in my room. So I was a Mizzou fan. I don't know if I watched a lot, but because I grew up playing soccer, but I definitely was a Mizzou fan growing up. So
it was a pretty easy choice, it sounds like.
Oh, for sure. Yes.
That's great. So you're heading into your sophomore season. Last year, you were kicking alongside one of the, you know, well-known kickers, one of America's favorite kickers, Harrison Meavis. I mean, talk a little bit about how he is kind of become one of America's favorite. I guess here in Kansas City, he might not be the favorite of some K-State fans after that 61-yarder he hit against Kansas State to beat them. But talk a little bit about that.
So I actually, after I committed, Harrison immediately like reached out to me and was like, "Hey, I'm excited to have you here." Like, it was just great. We trained together before I was even there. So it was really cool. We had that bond and that connection, and I knew I was going to learn from him. And he taught me a lot of things that I didn't even know I had in me and things like that. And so I think his mentality is fantastic. And that's something I try to replicate, and he's a special kicker. And I think that he's going to do some great things at the next level too. So.
And so talk about, you know, just him in practice, kind of things he would do. And then maybe, do you remember that kick where do you remember what you were doing on the sidelines as you watched that kick go through the uprights against Kansas State?
So I was actually like really sick during that game. So I was like struggling to get through it. And whenever I saw him line up for that kick, it was like my sickness was gone. I forgot everything that was going on. So I lined up next to my coaches everyone's like, "Is he going to get this?" And I'm like, "He's got this." Like, I had no doubt in him, and he obviously executed it. And so it was really cool. Like, and I've seen him, we've gone back together, both of us back to like 70 to 75 yards in practice, just swinging away. So I knew he had the leg for that. So,
you know, heading into your second season, how do you feel now knowing that obviously Harrison has moved on? He's going, like you said, to that next level. You've got that opportunity to kind of take over that spot. You know, I'm sure faced a lot of pressure situations in your career. Now knowing that that's available, how are you feeling about it?
No, I feel great. Like, confidence is at a high. And I think spring was great for me because it was the first spring where I was the ones with the ones and Coach Drink and Coach Link, they put me in situations that were like, they tested my ability and I had to execute under pressure. And that was what all of spring was about for us, was just executing. And I think that I got a lot better, learned a lot of things, and it was great. I think I'm completely ready to go. Kind of wish season could just be like right now, you know, but still got some time, still got summer to develop. And so I'm excited. Yeah.
And I'm sure kicking, you know, I feel like a lot of times when I hear kickers, I compare it to golf in the fact that it is a very mental sport, and one little thing going wrong can kind of get it, you know, get in your head, and it's about getting over those things, being mentally strong. I'm sure you know all these things, obviously. But another comparison I thought about the other day that I thought I'd ask you is it somewhat similar to basketball? You know, a great 3-point shooter that as soon as they see that first one go in, they're rolling. Do you feel like that's similar?
I think it is. I also think it's very like it's very similar to golf in a sense, but I think it's also kind of just entirely unique, you know, because in golf you get like it's if it's a par five, you got five shots, you know, and in kicking it's like you get one opportunity every time you step out there, you know, so it's one of those things like your job is to execute and be consistent, and I think with golf it's definitely like that, so I think that that's like the best comparison. And I think yes, it's true. Once you make one kick though, you get your confidence rolling, things like that, and you just kind of run away with it from there.
Yeah, I guess, I mean, I'm sure this is a struggle for a lot of kickers, but how do you deal with those moments when maybe you just don't catch one right or things aren't going your way to then get back on the train and get rolling again?
Oh, yeah. So it's all about how good you are on your bad days, you know? So if you're having a bad day, you still got to be at that level where you're still executing. And I think, like, obviously you miss a kick. It's the same thing for me. I high five my holder and I jog off the field, whether I make it or I miss it, you know, I have full confidence in my operation and I also have full confidence in myself. So it's one of those things that it's like, you miss one. All right, next kick, you know, so.
That's a great mentality. And so, you know, you've talked a lot about, you know, these players that you've played alongside, some of these coaches. In that transition from playing soccer to then being a kicker and now trying to continue to get better at that, who have been some people that have really come alongside you along that way?
So definitely like my high school coaches, Coach Learman, Coach Jones, like Coach Krause, my dad, and definitely like those are the main ones that like just like were by my side through it all and like helped me get into camps, things like that, things I didn't even know I should have been a part of, and then made some last minute decisions to get to camps and get ranked. And I think it was just like, I definitely think my dad was like the biggest one though, because he would sacrifice everything. He would drop weekends just to take me places to get better. And so I think he was definitely the biggest part of that. So
did he, when you started kind of making that transition to being a kicker, did he see that and did it excite him, or was he a little nervous, you know, with you making that transition?
So I remember talking to my dad, and I remember sitting exactly where we were in our house. And I remember saying like, man, I don't want to quit soccer, you know, cause I loved it. And it's one of those sports that once you love it, it's so hard to let go of. So I think that he helped me through that decision. He's like, and he just like told me, he's like, what do you think that you can be the greatest at? He's like, you can either be really good at two things or you can be the great, like great at one thing. And I'm like, and I just had to make that decision, you know?
That's a great, you know, piece of advice there. What can you be great at? That's sounds like you've got a good one in your corner with your dad there. That's awesome. So, you know, now you have that love of soccer. You can kind of shift it a little bit into being a part of this Sporting Kansas City, Sporting U NIL team. Do you have a plan? Maybe have you been out to any matches recently? Are you getting out to any matches this season?
So I've been really busy, but once I can, I cannot wait because it's going to be awesome. Like I'm going to do my best, obviously, to make it to that game and at Arrowhead and against Inter Miami. I cannot wait for that game. And I've obviously been watching the scores and stuff, and it's just been it's awesome to see. So
that's great. And so I have to ask as well, because you said you were a ball boy for a little bit for the team. Is there any players growing up that you remember that you were a huge fan of?
Oh yeah, definitely. Like the two guys that come straight to my head is Matt Beisler and Graham Zusi. Obviously, two guys come straight to my head. I'm trying to think of like other ones. I loved Benny Failhaber, obviously. So like, I mean, I was a midfielder myself, so. I mean, those guys just like growing up, like they were like idols, you know, like you used to go to the games, you'd be like, oh, that's Matt Beisler, you know? So I remember growing up and sitting in that general admission section behind the goal, and I would look for those specific guys. So
absolutely. Matt Beisler and Graham Zusi, two legends around Kansas City here, and Benny Failhaber now still working with the team as the head coach of SKC too. So
yep.
You've definitely, you've got some guys there that even myself growing up, I was a huge fan. I've got to watch those guys and see their careers progress into becoming legends here in Kansas City. So I've asked a lot of players this on the Sporting KC team, because when they go on the road, it's always a tough environment, those kind of things. And with you, are you the kind of player that likes to play under that environment of obviously your home crowd going crazy? Like if you hit a big kick, the crowd goes crazy. Or do you like it when there's that animosity, you know, people are jeering you and then you can make the crowd go silent? What do you prefer?
So I actually was thinking about this question not that long ago, and I think I would rather kick a game winner away than I would home. As much as I would think that, like, the home experience, like how Mevis kicked that K-State game winner, I think it would just be really cool to be able to get on the bus and go home after that and just sit there and just be like, oh, I shut that crowd down, you know? So I think that would be a really cool experience.
Because I've always said that in, you know, in Children's Mercy Park especially, it gets crazy. But when SKC go on the road and they score, I don't think it ever gets more quiet in a stadium than when the road team scores. So I'm sure it'd be similar if you hit a game winner at an opponent. They'd be very similar.
Exactly, yeah.
Well, Blake, I think that's all I've got here for you on the SKC show. I really appreciate your time.
Awesome. I appreciate it. I'm excited to be on here, so thank you.
Well, that is Blake Craig, Missouri kicker, here on the Sporting Kansas City show. We'll take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll have more here on the SKC show. Hello, and welcome back here on the Sporting Kansas City show on Sports Radio 810 WHB or wherever you get your podcasts. If you haven't already, make sure to follow Sporting Kansas City on all socials, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, TikTok, wherever you are. You can go ahead and find Sporting Kansas City and go ahead and give us a follow. We would really appreciate it just so you can stay in touch with all things Sporting Kansas City. It was a great conversation with Blake Craig. He is obviously the kicker for Mizzou, a very fun guy to talk to. He'll be taking over that starting kicker job, it seems like, for Missouri, a team that it had a great season last year, so we'll have to see if they can continue that going into this next year. But back to the soccer talk here on Sporting KC show. It was a busy week in training for Sporting Kansas City, trying to forget that loss to the Galaxy, trying to put that all in the rear view as they have a big matchup in Canada heading into Saturday against Toronto FC. Toronto, a very dangerous team this year. They've got 10 points from 5 matches, and they're playing under a new manager, John Herdman. Of course, John Herdman has had quite a bit of success for Toronto, or in Canada, rather. Not for Toronto quite yet. He just joined that team, obviously. But he's had quite a bit of success in his managerial career at the international level with the Canadian men's national team, the Canadian women's national team as well, enough so that he earned the job with Toronto FC. And he's got his team playing fired up, playing for them. They seem to be very excited about their new manager. You know, you've got a lot of big personalities in that team. Insigne, Bernadeschi, a lot of guys who want their opinion to be known. And it seems as though John Herdman has allowed those guys to have their opinion be known. But also, he's done a good job of being that overarching figure of, I am the manager and I am making the final decision. And so far, it's worked out for them. 5 matches, 3 wins, a draw. A very dangerous team in the Eastern Conference. So Sporting Kansas City is going to have a true test out there. As far as health goes for Sporting Kansas City, it seems like Andre Ufontas is available for selection, according to Peter Vermees. That's what we heard in the press conference during the week. Johnny Russell likely going to miss this match. Of course, the usuals that we know, Kyrie Shelton still a little bit out, probably won't be playing in this match. And of course, Logan and Denbe injured as well, still coming off the knee surgery from last season. But Sporting Kansas City, outside of that, seemed to be relatively healthy, and that is a good sign after Andre Ufontas has missed a couple of matches. We'll have to see if he gets back in the starting lineup. He is a big piece, although Robbie Voloder has been strong at that left center back spot for Sporting Kansas City. There's just a veteran leadership that Andre Ufontas brings, and of course some communication as well. We talked in previous weeks about how him being both a Spanish and English speaker, he can kind of be that bridge in the back line. So that's definitely something to watch for Sporting Kansas City. But of course, as I talked about those players for Toronto, they're also pieces to watch. And Lorenzo Insigne, Bernadeschi up top, those two guys are very dangerous. However, a big talking point is that Lorenzo Insigne suffered an injury, an apparent hamstring injury in the matchup. They just played against Atlanta. He will be a player to monitor. If he is not available, that definitely changes the attack for Toronto. course, they do have Tyrese Spicer, who played in that. He's actually started in that matchup against Atlanta, scored the first goal for Toronto. He is on hot form as of right now. Of course, the draft pick in this 2023 MLS Super Draft. So those are definitely pieces to watch for Toronto, just to keep an eye out on what they the things happening over there. And of course, coming off of a 2-0 win over a very strong Atlanta team, they played in Toronto. Of course, Atlanta seems to be one of the best teams at home, maybe not quite the same on the road, but Toronto took advantage and they won 2-0, a very convincing win over an Atlanta team that can create a lot of chances, but didn't create a lot of chances against Toronto. So Sporting Kansas City will head into Toronto and try and see if they can do the opposite and create a lot of chances, score a lot of goals, and just forget about what happened in Kansas City a week prior against the Galaxy, where they led 2-0 and ended up losing the match 3-2. But that's about all we've got here on the Sporting Kansas City show. SKC heading into Toronto. You can catch the match on Sports Radio 810 WHB, myself alongside John Kempen on the call. It's obviously going to be on Apple TV as well, so try and find the match wherever you prefer. And of course, if you can listen to us on Sports Radio 810 WHB, that's always much appreciated. But that is all here on the Sporting Kansas City Show. Make sure to stay tuned every week as we have more here on the SKC Show.